$1 trillion bill. I know a lot of you out there are a little upset at what's going on in the Congress. And I'm just going to tell you something. The only way we can fix this is for us to fix it. If we leave it to our elected officials in Washington, it ain't going to happen. I'm sorry, but it's not. If there's anybody that's going to fix what's wrong in Washington, it's us. It's you. It's me. And that means the midterm elections, where we've got a chance to turn away, you know, people like Catherine Cortez Masto and Dina Titus. Dina Titus, by the way, voted for all of this nonsense. She voted against the motion to recommit back to committee. And the only way, Jesse Turner, I think, may have said something about this last week, that the only way we can do this is to undo people like Dina Titus. And we are the only ones that can do it. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. Coming up, Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. We'll find out what he's been up to. We've got special session or sessions coming up. We'll do that on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
This is Lee Habib, and I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Heard nightly, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, only on AM 670.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas, locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Biden is sticking with his August 31st deadline for American withdrawal from Afghanistan. He says extending the withdrawal date would be a risky proposition.
I'm also mindful of the increasing risks that I've been briefed on, and the need to factor those risks in. They're real and significant challenges that we also have to take into consideration.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis tells the Salem Radio Network he's also heard from several sources evacuations are being accelerated.
By the end of Friday this week, that we're trying to accomplish everything that we can and to be ahead of what people have been speculating about is to the end of the 31st of August. So we'll have to wait and see if that's true.
The Taliban has warned there would be consequences if the Americans weren't out by August 31st. Overweight and obese Americans should start getting screened for diabetes earlier.
New national guidelines say those who are overweight should get screened for diabetes at age 35, not 40. The new advice stems from rising rates of both obesity and type 2 diabetes and research showing health benefits of prevention methods and early treatments. 3 out of every 4 U.S. adults is overweight or obese, and among adults 18 and older, 14% already have diagnosed diabetes. The latest guidance was published online in the Journal of the American Medical Association. I'm Shelley Antler.
Herschel Walker has filed paperwork to enter the U.S. Senate race in Georgia after months of speculation. Walker joins other Republicans seeking the GOP nomination to challenge Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock in 2022. Walker signed papers Tuesday declaring his candidacy, allowing him to raise money for a Senate run. On Wall Street, the Dow by 30 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free, no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Both were prosecutors in the Clark County District Attorney's Office, each with 25 years of experience. One was chief of the Special Victims Unit, the other chief of the Homicide Unit. Both dedicated, both respected. Together, they are Craig Hendricks and Frank Como, the Vegas Dream Team for criminal defense you need in your corner. Call 702-222-9999 or visit VegasDreamTeam.com, a division of DeCastro Verde Law Group.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash, powered by DeCastro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. With air travel returning to near pre-pandemic numbers, unruly passengers are racking up huge fines. The FAA says over the past year, it has assessed more than $1 million in fines to travelers for alleged bad behavior. Of the 34 new cases announced last week, 9 of them had links to Las Vegas. No other city had as many cases. Two of the incidents resulted in $15,000 fines, with a trio of women also being fined $13,000 each. The TSA recently announced its mask mandate is being extended from September 14th to January 18th. Younger Nevadans are now the face of the current COVID-19 surge in deaths and hospitalizations. Recent state data shows people between 25 and 49 years of age have made up 15% of the deaths between June 1st and August 15th. Double the rate across the entire pandemic. People 65 and older are now accounting for a smaller share of recent deaths. Local health officials say age is no longer the strongest indicator of whether an infected person will be hospitalized or die.
KMZQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Look out for a lot of congestion on the 515 eastbound at Main Street and westbound at Eastern. There's only two lanes available in that corridor while that bridge work is completed. And moderate flow is on the Beltway right now. 215 eastbound at Green Valley and 215 westbound at Gillespie.
Gather around! In addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that. And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when followed through, the exact opposite. Check it out. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three,
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. It is hour number two, live and local. Kevin Wall with you until 6 o'clock. And it's always good because on Tuesday we get to talk to Scott Hammond, the state senator from Nevada District 18, who joins us. Scott, how you been?
I'm well, actually. Really good week last week. Doing really well. How about you?
It's been good. It's been good. The weather... Weather's been good. I survived the full moon the other night. You know, I was howling at the moon, but I survived.
Well, the question is, did others around you survive?
That's always a big question. Let me just ask you. I'm just watching on my monitor in here in the House of Representatives. They are in the midst of passing the what is called HR4. The bill that's going to federalize local elections. Explain why that's a bad idea.
Well, I don't know if I can explain. So many things that people talk about nowadays. Local elections, elections have always been under the purview of the state. And I just think that we need to be the ones who make those kinds of decisions. Too many times we're seeing more and more decision-making and more mandates come down from the federal government. And to be honest with you, most of us just kind of let it happen, whether it's, you know, elected officials or just the people. We're just going to get used to the federal government making more and more decisions in our lives, and that's never a good thing. I mean, even 200-some years ago, they realized that most of the decision-making had to be local, and that the only reason why we got away with creating a federal government is because we knew that we had to swim in the waters of international affairs. But that's really what the federal government should be worried about, federal affairs or international affairs and some other responsibilities that fall within their purview. But when it comes to local stuff and state stuff, it really needs to stay here. I don't know if I can answer your question fully, but that's kind of how I've always learned things, what the responsibilities were, the division of power, and that's the way it should be going forward. And I just worry that we abdicate too much power here at the local level and the state level, and then give it back to the federal government.
I'm not trying to hold you up as a constitutional scholar, but I'm just curious: is it in the Constitution, or did it come through the courts? How did local bodies end up with, you know, the power to hold elections?
I believe that's in the Constitution. It is part of that, and I it's funny because I think as the older I get, it seems like I forget more. You go back to when I was, in grad school and we're studying all this stuff. There were things that had to be in there. That when I say that there are things that had to be in there, there are certain responsibilities and powers that had to be in the 10th Amendment, for example, the Bill of Rights. For the states to then sign off on the Constitution, they realized that we had to make sure that there was real division of power to make sure that this experiment with democracy worked. This federalism, as we looked at it, had to make sure that the power, that there was no overlapping of power, that we had certain power and we had the right to look into the powers of others or have power over them. And so that was one of those. It had to be one that we had to have control over our elections. We had to have control over the schools. We had to have control. Certain things had to be under our purview to make sure that this experiment worked. And the more that the federal government encroaches on that, the more we're actually removing the ability of the people to rule over themselves.
Yeah, and that's why this bill HR1, the We the People Act, is so wrong on so many levels. The fact is that the people closest to the electorate are people like you, people like me, people that live in the community, and somehow that seems lost on the Democrats right now in Congress, and they're trying to federalize everything from our policing to our elections. It really is kind of sad.
No, I completely agree. I sometimes at a loss for words because when I see them try to erode the things that have made us who we are for so many years, and then look at it and say, well, we need to get rid of this, and that the federal government is better at making sure that everything is uniform. Well, uniform is not always the best. I mean, it does. It's nice in certain areas. It's really good, But, you know, we here in Clark County know that the one-size-fits-all system is not always good, especially if you look at the CCSD. You know, one size does not fit all, and you do need to have what the people who live there are comfortable with. And, you know, the fact is I live in the neighborhoods that I represent, and I know the people who live there, and it's really important that you have that. And so anytime you start to erode that, you're looking at an erosion of input from the people who are to be governed, and the, you know, the consent of the governed starts to be eroded, and that's not a good thing.
Again, joining us, Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. Dr. Fauci, one of my favorites, I know he's one of yours, says that we can gain control over the coronavirus by the spring of 22. What do you make of that? You think that's realistic?
Well, I think that sarcasm aside, and I think a lot of us have that same sort of idea of when we talk about Dr. Fauci, because he said so many things. I mean, the guy could be intelligent and smart and all those things, but I just don't see him and others in our government making a lot of smart moves when it comes to trying to talk to the people. Too many times we have not talked to the people. We have not just given them information and then said, choose wisely. And so a lot of people just don't know what to believe when he says things. And, you know, it's unfortunate because we should be able to have more trust in our institutions, and especially those who are handing out medical information. And you know, I think he probably is brilliant, but right now so many people are hesitant to follow his instructions because he's contradicted himself so many times, and I wish he hadn't, because right now it's really important that we all do get together as citizens of this great state and this great nation and try to figure out how to combat this and do it in a logical way. I mean, I know that when people hear about the vaccine and listen and then listen to what the studies are and all that stuff, I think people will make the right decision. But when you start talking like it's not going to be over until this date, or, you know, we're talking about mandates, I know that really, I think it makes people bristle as soon as you start talking about mandates. I wish that we would just be more honest with people, get all the information out to them. I'm pretty sure that people would make the right decision. And I know a lot of people might laugh at me and go, are you kidding me? But I really do. I really think that people, when given information, they make choices, and, you know, whatever consequences come, they come. But I think that we need to make, you know, we need to have people out there that we can trust more. To be honest with you, I think that Dr. Fauci at this point, he needs to step aside and stop being the face of this, and they need to find somebody else. That's how I feel about him right now.
Wow. Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. A lot of people look at your gig. It's not a full-time gig, although you spend a lot of hours doing what you do. But I'm just curious, when the legislature is not in session, you are the repository of criticism, of questions, of quests. You know, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. What is it that your life is like when you're not in session?
That is a great question. I wish I could write a paper on you know, what the life is of a state senator, state representative in the assembly. You know, I used to tell my students all the time when they, you know, when they thought that this was a really cool job, I'm like, look, it's not, as I put it, super sexy, right? Because it's not a sexy job. Nobody really knows who you are. You go home, and at the time when I was teaching, I still had young kids, so I was still going home, changing poopy diapers, taking out the garbage, doing all the things that anybody would do at home, living among all the people that I live with in my neighborhood, going to the grocery store, seeing people, finding out what the prices are for goods and services. So I really did know what life was like on a day-to-day basis, like anybody else would be, sitting around the dinner table discussing what's going on in my kids' lives and all those kind of things. So on a daily basis, I probably answer about an hour's worth of email. I probably answer anywhere between 10 to 15 phone calls from constituents. And then, of course, text messages come in all the time. And so you have to set aside time, usually at night, to kind of answer some of those questions. Sometimes during the day you have to try and get a hold of people that can then help those constituents out, get a hold of constituent services at the LCB, the Legislative Council Bureau. They're there to help us, to help our constituents. So there's constant communication. Then, of course, now we have so many interim committees that we start to get involved in. which is really important because a lot of work preparatory to going to the legislature the next session happens during these interim committees. A lot of issues are discussed. Bills are formulated in these interim committees. And, you know, experts are brought in to give testimony during these interim committee meetings. So there's a lot of work that goes on, and we're asked to attend some of these interim committees. Matter of fact, we usually, on average, most legislators choose about three interim committees to be a part of, anywhere between three and four, depending on your availability, maybe even more than that. And so there's a good chunk of your time that's taken up with constituency work, interim committee work, bill preparation. If you have a bill that you're bringing that's separate from a interim committee, well, you're putting together stakeholders, taking in testimony or input from your constituents. So you're still working a fairly substantial number of hours a week on your elected office and making sure that you're the voice of the people of your district. So it's not a walk in the park, and you're not getting paid during that time. The only time you actually get paid for is when you are in Carson City during that first 60 days of the legislative session.
And by the way, I've tried to nail people down on this, and nobody can ever give me a firm figure. But how much do you guys make? I mean, in the legislature? I mean, I know on a per-hour basis, there are people at Mickey D's that are probably making more than a lot of you guys are making. Explain how that works.
Sure. I wish I knew exactly. I know you're looking for the exact amount, but you're up there 120 days, right? 60 days, yeah. So 120 days. The first 60 days, you actually get a salary, and that salary is just a little north of $8,000. I want to say about $8,200 to $8,400. Mm. That's the salary that you get during the first 60 days. So they basically pay you every week for that first 60 days. Then after that, you don't get a salary anymore. That's all up and that's done. All you get is the per diem. You know, every day you get a certain amount for meals, and then, of course, housing allowance. And of course, it's not just the last 60 days. You get that for the whole 120 days. So for the first 60 days, you get your salary plus your per diem, plus then the last 60 days, only the per diem. And, I mean, all together, you're talking maybe 20... Gosh, I wish I knew. $25,000 to $30,000, maybe.
Wow.
So basically, when I was up there and I was a teacher at CCSD, the second semester I would have to take a leave of absence, and so the second part of my year I didn't get any money from that job. I only got money for going up to Carson City, and I ended up losing about $5,000 every time I did this.
Wow. That's absolutely. Do we need to do it differently? Do we need to go to yearly sessions?
Well, there's a way to do that, so it's not it's not as much. I mean, we can certainly do 60-day sessions every year, so it's not that way. You're not doing 120 days every year. You can still cut it down and do 60 days every year, so you're there every year and getting things done. Because every other year, it just seems like we're so far removed from the issues of the day.
Yeah.
So it might be, you know, there's a compromise in there. Doing it every year, but doing it 60 days instead of 120 days. Going up there for 2 months, getting that work done, and then going back and getting into your regular life. That might be a way of doing it. Of course, my worry is that one of these days, the salary is so prohibitive that we're only going to get those people who have either retired or those who are financially independently wealthy. And those are the people who are going to be able to afford to go up there, or in some cases, those who work in a public capacity, which is we our ranks have swelled with those who are in, you know, have regular public jobs, and then go up there and take time off and do that work. Other than that, I mean, most people don't have the ability to do that. So,
and by the way, am I right that violates the Constitution?
Yeah, I mean,
working in the public sector, school district.
Yeah, a lot of people are debating that right now. It seems like, you know, when you have people who are making up the laws and then going home and then working under the laws that they make, you know, it's hard. You know, and the thing is, you want to make sure it's open up to everybody that's out there. And we have such a small population growing all the time, albeit, but still a small population. And things that, you know, we're going to have to do something to change because we're still living under the same rules that we put out there back in the 1860s. So at some point, we're going to have to say, all right, we're a little bit more, we're mature, and I think we need to have some changes that reflect that maturity.
I agree with you. Everybody's always asking me, hey, what about the Teletown Hall? When's the next Teletown Hall? People not just in your district in 18, but across the state, they want to hear what you're up to. They have questions. You bring experts to the party. When's your next Teletown Hall? Any idea?
Not exact idea. I'm working with a couple ideas. Believe it or not, remember, I think last time you and I talked, you were asking about this tour that the governor's doing to find out how people would like to spend the art money.
Oh, that's right.
I did get an invitation. I did get somebody from the treasurer's office reached out to me and said, how would you like to host a Teletown Hall where we actually, it'll be a part of that tour, that art tour. And I thought, well, maybe I do. Maybe, you know, constituents of mine want to, you know, discuss how the money might be best spent. But, you know, I'm still tottering on that. I don't know if that really is a legit tour or not. I don't know if he's using it as a campaign maneuver or what. So I'm kind of hesitant. But then again, you know, I have access to folks. So we're working on that. But then I also have people who want to go in and give more information on, you know, some of this money that's still out there for businesses. They still want to know more about that. So I'm trying to bring in guests that will actually help my constituents know more information. Because you know me, I try not to be political during these Teletown Halls. I'm trying to just push out information.
No, I think it's great what you do. So it's to be announced, but it'll be announced here when you firm it up.
Absolutely. I like doing it on your program because you get that information out. But I'd like to say that we're going to try and do it the last part of August or the very first week of September is what we're looking at.
That sounds great. Hey, listen, you have a good one. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, Scott. I always love it.
Thank you, Kevin. You guys have a good week.
There you go. Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18, joining us here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Time for a weather update. It's a temperature. It could rain or not. It's either hot or cold, so wear a jacket or don't. Anyway, good luck.
Unclear information isn't helpful, which is why when your car needs repair, head to Meineke Car Care Centers. With Meineke e-inspection, we'll send photos and technician notes straight to your phone, telling you what should be fixed and why. Get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a free lifetime warranty. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
It's finally happened. We're finally free. Hey, Kevin Wall here, and my friends at Ichabod's Lounge are at 100% capacity with the same old Vegas atmosphere customers have come to expect for more than three decades. Ichabod's, even after a pandemic, it's still one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers and now super serving mask-free. Ichabod's Lounge features an incredible menu, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And at Ichabod's Lounge, their kitchen is open 24/7 for you late-night foodies. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. I just love it. You want to win? You want to celebrate our freedom? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you've been in an accident, did you know that your lawyer can take 33% from your settlement, regardless of how little of money you get?
That's right.
You get hurt, and the lawyer takes most of the money. It's not very fair, is it? When you hire me as your lawyer, those worries go away. I promise to never take more money than you, and I put it in writing.
If you're tired of greedy lawyers, call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycry has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycry.com.